Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the AEW Dynamite Preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by one of the Dudley Boys, Michael Sidgwick from What Culture, to look ahead to tonight's episode of AEW Dynamite. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review AEW Dynamite, but also AEW Rampage, Raw, SmackDown, NXT 2.0, pay-per-views. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a bloody quiz, of course, on WrestleCulture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Sidgwick to look ahead to AEW Dynamite tonight. And if you think we're sounding weird and whispering and wondering where Michael Hamflet is, it's because we are recording right next door to where we've been filming a day of quizzes. So apologies if this is out slightly late, but still AEW Dynamite tonight, Sidge. What, a week and a half away from full gear? It's kicking into gear, isn't it?
Absolutely. I expect a lot of the conflicts to get ramped up. I expect one particularly compelling possibility to be both realised and realised gloriously, in the case of a very quick talking point we'll get to. It's obviously Under a Cloud,
yes.
This episode of AEW Dynamite. I'm not looking forward to it in the same way I would virtually every single other one, because I think my thoughts, your thoughts, and basically everyone's thoughts are with John Moxley, his family, his friends, his support network. Hopefully they'll put a smile on our faces. They've stolen WWE's company motto. But it's going to be a challenge, I think.
Yeah, exactly. We should deal with the elephant in the room, like you say. If you're unaware of this, news broke last night, revealed by AEW founder and president Tony Khan, that John Moxley is entering an inpatient alcohol treatment program. Therefore, obviously, he is, as you would expect, out of that AEW title eliminator tournament. Look, we're not going to sit here and pitch potential replacements. It feels sort of wrong to do something like that, but it is something that they're going to have to deal with tonight very sensitively.
I mean, yes, absolutely. Like, the show kind of has to go on, but I can honestly say that I've not really given it more than a moment's thought who's going to replace him. It feels like it's in bad taste. I just would rather know that he's doing as best as he can, and their idea will probably be better than ours anyway. We'll just wait and see how it plays out.
Yeah, obviously our thoughts are with Mox, with Renee, obviously with their new child and stuff. It's a horrible news story to have to break and talk about. We did it this morning, me and Andy. We just wish him well in his recovery. And yeah, it'll be intriguing, but we're not going to speculate as to what happens with Orange Cassidy, Bryan Danielson, and the rest of that title eliminator tournament.
Absolutely. It's just one of those where it just goes to show that everyone struggles. The picture of John Moxley was of, and it still is, of just this incredible human being, this incredible man who just seemed to have it all. And it just goes to show that nobody has it all. Like, absolutely nobody on this planet has it all. And I just can't stop thinking about him, basically.
Yeah, I said something on the news today with Andy, and I hope people don't take this the wrong way, but I said it just goes to show, like, he's got this book coming out. He's obviously got, you know, happily married with Renee. He's got a baby daughter. One would have assumed being heavily involved in this AEW title eliminator tournament and presumably heading to the final. I think we've sort of fantasy booked that. And I think the main thing to take away from all this is your well-being is the most important thing out of everything. You know, you should never feel that things are more important than your own well-being. And that's, you know, one of the things that he can be a real example of here.
Absolutely. I don't think anyone, well, there's the obvious dickhead, bad faith trolls on Twitter, and everyone should mute them or block them. You know exactly who we're talking about. It's like the same three or four guys, and they have the burner accounts. WWE Gareth and all the rest of the cool mutants just need to fuck off. we need to ignore them. And I don't think a single person in good faith was like, oh, I was really looking forward to that match. What a shame. Everyone's just really thinking like, who cares about that?
Yeah.
Who cares about that? Let's just hope that he's okay.
But let's talk about tonight's show. We've got a huge match with Cody versus Andrade. We've got an open challenge from FTR. We've got developments in the TBS title tournament. But arguably one of the most important things to look forward to tonight is a development from Rampage, of course, the coming together of Eddie Kingston and CM Punk, a match we got sold on in, what, 30 seconds of Eddie Kingston losing his rag, understandably, after being eliminated from the title eliminator tournament by Bryan Danielson and saying, I know you, stop laughing at me, and CM Punk saying, I'll put you to sleep. Do you think Punk responds to that tonight as well?
Certainly. It feels like that's very much the match that they have inside for Full Gear. I don't want to talk about the Rampage angle because I'll be here all day. It was absolutely perfect. It was the way they treated the broadcast as a sacred broadcast, as one that makes sense in the parameters of a TV program. This is meant to be an emulation of a broadcast. I just loved every single bit about the format of the way it was done, how naturalistic it was, blah, blah, blah. Listen to the Rampage review, wherever you get your podcast from, for my full extended thoughts on how much I adored that angle. I'm interested in how this goes. Does Eddie Kingston initiate things? Or do we get the traditional, now traditional, do the first match, then you get the CM Punk interview appearance immediately after that, and then does he get interrupted?
It would actually feel, you know, as much as we moan and groan about when WWE do it, this is legitimate. If I'm Eddie Kingston walking about backstage and Punk's out there in the ring lambasting me for interrupting him last week, I'm like, bollocks this and pushing, shoving people out of the way, especially with, you know, what he's going through at the moment.
That's the thing with the first angle of this hopeful storyline perfected one of the most wacky and deadening tropes in all of TV wrestling, and I include WWE and AEW in that, particularly because I expect more of the latter, and they've just fallen to the traps of how to engineer a quick conflict, that is to interview, backstage interruption. This is the one time it would make sense to happen, and I have all the faith in the world, considering how beautifully elegant that last one was, if in fact CM Punk motions to cut a promo, and Eddie Kingston interrupts him, or they could subvert that, and CM Punk could grab the microphone and say, Eddie Kingston, get your arse out here right now. I know exactly what's going to happen. Let's just cut with all the TV drama bollocks. Get out here face to face. And just to put over John Moxley, because I feel like I'm going to really miss putting him over for the foreseeable future, they could do something akin to that absolutely seminal go-home promo at ahead of Full Gear last year when Moxley and Kingston got each other's face and everyone was like, how can Eddie Kingston put over the fact that this is real to him so well. It was one of the best face-to-face.
Oh, great. Forehead to forehead.
It's absolutely unbelievable. If they can even approach a diluted version of that magic, it'll probably be the best angle this year, because last year's version was certainly the best angle of last year.
Yeah, really good that. And you sense, yeah, that's going to lead us towards Full Gear. And that match also, presumably we get a response from MJF regarding Darby Allin's challenge from last week about Full Gear tonight.
Yes, this is the penultimate Dynamite before the show, isn't it? I don't know which way around you do the promo, to be honest. I think everyone's kind of on the hook for this match. They've done the angles, they've done the challenge, they've established that these two people are going to wrestle at some point, if and when, you know, in the parameters of the storyline, Darby Allin to recover. Basically, what we need now is MJF to tear Darby Allin apart verbally, sell the match as only he can. Does that happen this week or next? You know what? I'm greedy. Give us both.
I've got a great idea that's just popped into my head. What does Darby Allin do often when he's got an issue with someone? He makes a home movie. Yeah. Let's have an MJF version of that with Sean Spears playing the role of Darby Allin or something. I feel like that could be hilarious.
I haven't had a good parody in AEW since Ricky Starks dressed up as Darby Allin.
I remember.
If MJF can shoot his own film, or this week he can sort of tease it, that'll be a hook, because MJF's all about dropping hooks for what his character does the very next week. He's an absolutely exceptional episodic TV star. Yeah, I think we've arrived at something that they'll do better at. That's the joy of the show.
Let's talk about this TBS title tournament. It continues tonight. Anna Jay versus Jamie Hayter. In terms of the brackets, the winner goes through then to face Thunder Rosa in the quarterfinals, and the winner of that will go through to face the winner of what I assume would be Jade Cargill versus Red Velvet to get to the semis. But yeah, Anna Jay, Jamie Hayter, how do you see this one going?
Well, it's funny because your wrestling brain And in AEW do play with shades of grey, the dreaded tweener word, except they make it good. They don't necessarily condemn themselves to do face versus heel all the time. It's just a more advanced and layered company than that, which complicates, or doesn't complicate, it just enriches this potential match because, one, Anna Jay is a more pushed commodity than Jamie Hayter, so you could very much see her going through and just having a babyface versus babyface match because AEW don't shy away from that because we're not five-year-old children watching it. They're actually 62 watching the other channel, but Vince McMahon books for five-year-olds and it gets watched by 62-year-olds. You know what I'm talking about. By the same token, Jamie Hayter versus Thunder Rosa, proper face versus heel match. Jamie Hayter can heat up the concurrent deft dovetailing booking potential. Nice. Clacks on. Deft dovetailing booking. If Britt Baker screws Anna Jay out of this match, you arrive at... It's always better with a face versus heel. Like, these things, more often than not, are better. I'm not rubbishing that trope for trope's sake. I'm just saying, don't beat me over the head with that. That has to happen all the time. If you get the, let's face it, better Thunder Rosa versus Jamie Hayter dynamic, you can arrive at that when Britt Baker potentially screws Anna Jay out of tonight's tournament match, and that will, in theory, indirectly heat up Britt Baker versus Ty Conti, of course, best mates in the Dark Order with Anna Jay, and you can accomplish two things. You can protect Anna Jay, you can advance the slow burn Jamie Hayter push, and you can deepen the heft of the women's title match at All Out. Three things.
Yeah. I genuinely can't call this. I'll go Anna Jay just to make things interesting. But I think that's a really nice bit of booking, particularly with the Tay Conti Britt Baker match on the horizon.
So deft. So deft dovetailing. It's like how they've arrived at this particular match in this bracket and how it just corresponds nicely with the women's title match. He's very good. He's very good at what he does. You establish connections. You make the landscape more immersive. You get loads more to play with narratively. It's very good.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Right, let's talk about this open challenge. FTR putting their AAA World Tag Team titles on the line ahead of course, facing the Lucha Bros for the AEW tag titles at Full Gear. Who's going to answer this open challenge? I feel like, you know, the Lucha Bros dressed as the Super Frogs to respond to this would be slightly preposterous, but it feels like the most logical way, you know, to have the Lucha Bros. But then, I don't know, you don't want to burn through another Lucha Bros FTR match, do you?
Well, this is the weird thing. If you go through the lore of the Conquistadors and apply that to this booking, yes, Phoenix and Penta will dress up as two separate luchador characters in order to recapture the AAA titles. But at the same time, apparently, plans are afoot to have FTR fly over to Mexico and defend the AAA titles. So that wouldn't make sense to, one, beat the Lucha Brothers twice ahead of a pay-per-view match. That's terrible booking, and I will absolutely bury it tomorrow if, in fact, this is how it plays out. Maybe they'll subvert the Conquistadors angle because it's a bit lame. It's a fondly remembered deal in how it's been a part of WWE canon, but it's a bit lame to just thrift it outright.
Mm.
And at the same time, a lot of people got annoyed by the booking because, look, they performed it well. They put their... They gave it the old college try, the FTR, yeah. And it was amusing. It was an amusing version of something that was dumb. People were kind of appalled that had happened because AEW has an actual interpromotional relationship with AAA. Hence why the titles were on the line in the first place.
Yes.
So everyone fantasy booked all these incredible luchadors that they've seen either watching AAA directly or on MP4s or GIFs or just general buzz.
Mm.
Like El Hijo Del Vikingo, everyone booked him. Dragon Lee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe they could create the expectation of, oh, we're going to do some more conquistador stuff. And then, no. We get two absolutely incredibly talented guys from AAA to finally do what people thought they were going to do the first time around. Look, it's all a bit weird. It's all very weird, the storyline. You either please the fans, put on a ripper of a match with two actual AAA guys, and they get screwed out of it by Tully or whatever. I think the most important thing is for them to get over by doing loads of spectacular, awesome stuff, which will act as an indirect preview to FTR versus Lucha Bros. All Out. Or they could just do more daft mask subterfuge stuff, which I'm not really into it. Like,
yeah, I mean, like, there is a story to be told where maybe someone comes out and they're, you know, in mysterious costume and they go, oh yeah, here it is, Rey Fénix and Penta El Zero Miedo, and then they all do stuff that makes you realize that ain't Penta and Rey, and then maybe not an unmasking perhaps, but maybe like an unmasking and another mask being underneath and then being like, you're not Rey Fénix. Yeah. You're not Penta. And maybe they then turn around into attack. I don't know. That's maybe a bit WWE for everything. But I'm fascinated by this.
It's one of those where I'm fascinated by it as well. And I'm also worried by it.
Yes.
FTR have been involved in some fairly not great stuff. If you remember, they had a feud with the Best Friends. And they did the whole weenies thing. And they did a fucking Titantron gag. This was like late 2020. They had a little feud, mini feud with the Best Friends. And they called them weenies. And the mocked up FTR on the Titantron, like, yeah. In my heart of hearts, I'd like to think they've got something awesome lined up their sleeves, but why would you book something pretty bad and universally loathed to go, gotcha, we're going to do something good. Why don't you do something good the whole time? Mm. So honestly, my expectations are actually really low.
Well, we'll see how that one plays out. Another incredibly intriguing match tonight is Cody Rhodes versus Andrade El Idolo. You sense this is leading towards some sort of allegiance between Andrade and Malakai Black, of course, and Cody and Pac. But this Cody Rhodes weekly development of his interaction with the crowds is something I just can't take my eyes and my ears, I suppose, off of.
There are loads of, like, describing words and adjectives you can use to throw at this Cody Malakai Black continuation. The potential of that tag team match that's been heavily teased for Full Gear. Hot, because it's very loud and the live fans are into it. That's accurate. Fascinating. That's also accurate because I don't know what Cody's doing. I know that he knows or thinks he knows what he's doing.
I hear you.
Yeah. So it's the
odd,
it's one of the, it's the oddest things. Like, does he hear us or does he not? Is he? It's just, I'm dying to know how he navigates this. So it's fascinating, it's hot, it's loud, it's also really confusing and maybe a bit lame in the case of Malakai Black and Andrade aligned because the wife and the manager have drawn them together.
Mm.
But like, if that's the case, and you are pedantic about this, and people like to be pedantic, people like to suspend their disbelief and think of it as a halfway realistic development. If you're, the off-screen implication is that Andrade and Malakai Black are aligned together because they've got a mutual mate in Zelina Vega. If you think about this just like one layer deeper, can you imagine like a Satanist guy hanging around with a rich guy? You know what I mean? It's, well, yeah. Possibly in corridors of power across America.
Oh, yes,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like, yeah, you have to imagine them at the dinner table a bit. And it's just like, it's preposterous. Like, it legitimately is preposterous to me that they are mates. It's all very, really, it's all a bit of a stretch that makes you think of suboptimal glimpses into their interior life. But at the same time, the match will be great. The live fans are into it. Pac flipping people off is awesome.
Yes.
The only word I wouldn't use to describe something that is really popular and interesting is great. It's not unanimously great. I'm not like bang into it. I've got questions, loads of questions about it, but they are often, in the feeling of the moment, answered by all the interactions great. The angles have been brilliantly performed. Andrade obviously doesn't speak English as his first language, but he had a composure and he drew me into his words.
Little bitch.
Little bitch. It was great. Little bitch. It was absolutely fantastic. It's just not good.
It's a weird thing,
it's not
this.
Good, but it's like, it's class.
Yeah, I was about to say then, like, I remember one of the big things for me is, you know, when people say, like, let it play out, let's see where they're going with this, is the Summer of Punk, obviously. I come back to that because I remember watching it and going, there's a reason why Kevin Nash was just powerbombed it and they had the cash in. And obviously it was just making up as they go along. It was a load of bollocks. This, you know, you think with the AEW stuff, they've got a plan here. They're going somewhere with this and they can adapt that plan as and when they decide how the crowd should receive Cody or how they'd like, at least. You know, they're not just going to plow forward. You're a babyface. You're a babyface. We're not going to change him, though. Although he said, I'm not going to turn, etc. But you've got, like, these exterior players in all this, in the central feud, which has been Cody versus Malakai, in Andrade and Pac, who just put a banger on the other week against each other, second one of theirs together. And then, like you say, I was like, why is this bollocks of him? I'm not going to turn and all that. And then Pac's there, sat flipping people off, and I'm like, I think I'm into this again now. It's such a roller coaster, this. We're not going to preview it anymore because we're going to wrap things up pretty quickly here. So let's conclude, and we'll talk more about it tomorrow as we, you know, discuss it and review it in full detail. Let's conclude by assuming that tonight we find out the three members of American Top Team that will join the Men of the Year to face the Inner Circle at Full Gear. As a result of that win last week for Sammy Guevara, he gets to pick the three. Who do you think they're going to select? Is it straightforward as it seems, this, with, you know, your Andre Arlovskis, your Junior Dos Santos's?
Well, if it was as straightforward as you'd expect, you would expect them in turn to just say, right, okay, well, it's going to be Ethan Page, Scorpio Sky, Jorge Masvidal, Junior Dos Santos, and Andre Arlovski.
Yeah.
Why would they make a tease unless there was... I just don't know why you would tease. It's like... Which five members of the Pinnacle
yes.
are we going to fight if we're the Inner Circle? We're going to do Wardlow, MJF, FTR, and Shawn Spears. You know what I mean? It's like, it's all very odd. So this isn't my take because I didn't think about it. It would be the natural conclusion to how much this total jackass who doesn't have the same values as the fans and all the rest of it. If, in fact, Dan Lambert is positioned as the fifth guy.
That's what I suggested, yeah.
And if he is in that match, and he's given it the biggin, like cocky threats, taunts, like if everyone in his team beats up like Guevara, he can get a punch in and then Scarpa back out. They can build him getting his dick pounded into the dirt. That would be like... One, it would be awesome. These people hate Lambert. If they can make them hate him even more in the context of the match at Full Gear, and at the very end, he takes the pot fall after getting like the Vince McMahon in the bar.
Yeah.
Like every finisher done to him by every member of the Inner Circle. Like the fans will go ballistic. They've been waiting for him to get punched in the face since, what, July when he first appeared in AEW? So I'm thinking that has to be the way they go. Otherwise, what a waste of time it is to do this particular mystery thread.
Yeah, me and Andy were talking about this before we came in here. He suggested Paige Van Zandt being potentially selected.
I hate that.
But then you'd need like a Thunder Rosa, I think we suggested. As
if Kenny Omega can't get intergender wrestling where a woman takes the move of a man in actual AEW canon as an EVP who's a staunch proponent of the form, I think Tony Khan's going to say, oh, that's a good idea. That was my idea, actually.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to do that. It's just something Tony Khan doesn't like.
I completely agree with you in terms of the selections. I think they pick Jorge Masvidal because I think as much as, you know, he's dangerous, Jericho wants to get his own back on him, so obviously he wants him in the match. Junior Dos Santos, you know, they've already tried him out in the ring. This isn't what they're saying, but in terms of he's got a bit of a... I think Andre Arlovski, no offence to him, I just feel like... You've had JDS in the ring, so let's just have him again because it's JDS and he's arguably slightly more recognisable than Arlovski. And then is when the moment you get Dan Lambert going, you fools. You've got the men of the year, who are already two of the hardest men in AEW, and you've picked Jorge Masvidal, the baddest mother on the planet. He's got a belt and everything that says it. And then you've got Junior Dos Santos, former UFC heavyweight champion. And then who else are you going to pick? And they go, you.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh. Like, he still thinks he's protected, yeah, but he knows that maybe he has to get involved. I just think that's the way things are going to go. You could have your Paige VanZant, you could have your Andre Arlovskis. I mean, looking at noble fighters at American Top Team, you could have Bobby Lashley, technically. Yeah. I don't think they're going to go down that way. You know, Yoma Romero, Jairzinho, Rozenstruik, great fighters.
But they're not even be on telly, like.
No, exactly. And, you would probably recognize a Dustin Poirier or something, but like, to select him as well is just dumb for the inner circle. I feel like it's people we've already seen. And if it's not, you know, Paige VanZant's other half that they're hoying in there, it'll be Dan Lambert, I reckon. But let us know your thoughts. Let us know your predictions on that. And tonight's show on Twitter. Apologies for keeping this one short. A very busy day in the What Culture office. We will cover off everything tomorrow, though, in your usual AEW Dynamite review. Let us know your thoughts at What Culture WWE on Twitter. You can follow Michael Sidgwick at
Sidgwick.
And you can get his book all about AEW and the rise of it. WhatCulture.BigCartel.com, of course. You can follow me on Twitter at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at What Culture WWE. And make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcast from, for daily wrestling podcasts, including our review of AEW Dynamite with Michael Hamflett tomorrow. But for now, this has been the AEW Dynamite preview. My thanks to Michael Sidgwick. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.